All right, how you been? It's been ages.
Salt Lake City currently has the worst air in the United States.
How did they measure that, and what do they think is the culprit for it having the worst air?
It's called an inversion, and what happens is because Salt Lake City is in the Salt Lake Valley, when we have a high-pressure system, it pushes the hot air down, which traps the cold air down by the ground. And since we're in a valley, it can't go anywhere, so it just sits there.
Oh, no.
And all the cars, of which there's a lot, plus, of course, there's wood-burning stoves and stuff like that. There's not as much as they're used to. They've cut down on that,
yeah,
but there are still some. So all that bullshit gets trapped in the cold lower air as long as there's a high pressure system in there. It just gets progressively worse. In addition, we have the Utah Lake down here in Utah, and then up north, the Great Salt Lake. So we get humidity also from that. So it just gets to the point where you're lucky if you could see a mile.
Oh, wow, that bad.
Yeah, I'm like a mile from one of the many mountains here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sometimes I can't even see that damn thing.
Oh, my goodness.
It's disgusting. And of course, Mouse still demands on being taken outside so he can run around and piss and shit on stuff.
Of course.
Yesterday and today, it was getting to the point where my lungs were actually starting to kind of hurt.
Oh, no.
It was a combination of cold, I'm sure, plus the nasty air. I told my wife, it's almost like I took up smoking again, but not with any of the benefits that might come with that.
It's like you're allergic to Utah.
Oh, I've been allergic to Utah for years. If I could convince my wife to leave Utah, I would have, because I've been trying for a decade now, but...
But all the Mormons are so nice, Jones. They're
no,
just
the Mormons
so
are cunts.
Nice.
The Mormons are cunts, and the Republican Mormons are bigger cunts, and...
I wonder how much of that parts per million is actually temple dust from the fabrication of new temples.
Well...
There's probably a significant percentage.
More significant than other places.
Right.
The fucking temples.
Oh, the fucking temples. Oh, and they've got to have big steeples because...
Because somehow that's suddenly a vital part of the Mormon doctrine, to have a big-ass fucking steeple.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
I just saw Mouse behind you before. What a cute dog. He's so cute.
Oh, yeah. He's over there. We rearranged the living room so that we could put up the fucking Christmas tree. So now couches are all over the place.
Well, Merry Christmas. Now, there were a few news stories.
Uh-huh.
Let's start with something light. Mormons get no-sleeved garments.
Yes.
Now, you were saying only in hot climates. Tell me more about that.
First of all, screenshots were leaked showing that they were for sale in other countries. And the church came out with a statement saying that this is only for people in hot climates. And then it came out that they were going to be available here in the U.S. in the third quarter of 2025. Now, whether they're going to say only if you're below the 35th parallel, I don't know if that's the case or not. But if you look at the history of garments... They started out as a one piece that went from wrist to ankle.
Right.
And so those hems have been getting shorter and shorter and shorter. My parents still had one piece garments when I was a kid, which I thought was really weird.
Vintage in a bad way.
Yeah, it was...
Not going to find that on Depop.
No, actually, I don't know, you might. but the hems have been getting shorter and shorter. I saw this image, which somebody had made up of a pair of white thong panties, and it says, the church releases thong garments for people living in sexy climates.
If you're in Miami.
That's right. If you're someplace where the people are sexy, you can wear thong garments, I guess.
All the sexy Mormons moved to Miami.
Oh, God. The church is desperately trying to retain, you know, all the young members.
Right.
By changing things. I mean...
By not changing quite enough, quick enough.
They're changing the window dressing, but the problematic history that they will continue to deny, and the doctrine which they won't deny, that's the main thing, is people finding out they've been lied to their entire lives.
So there was some more news stories. There was that documentary in Denmark about the Mormon church translated as Faith, Hope, and Rape. Some fairly high-ranking fellow over more than a decade repeatedly drugged his wife and raped her. And this is even after it was reported. They stayed together. I guess he apologized. I guess he said that it would never happen again. And then he just kept doing it.
In Mormon culture, the man is necessary for the woman to enter the celestial kingdom. So she would have been encouraged by her leaders to stay with him.
Bonkers.
And she would have been scared to leave him because if she left him, she literally could not reach the highest kingdom.
Right.
Because she has to have a priesthood holder call her out by her secret temple name so she could be resurrected and then draw her through the veil into the celestial kingdom where he can make spiritual babies with her.
Jesus Christ.
If she had been a lifelong Mormon, she would have been conditioned from the very get-go with that attitude. There's rampant abuse in every church, really. But
sure.
As far as the Mormon church is concerned, that is normal. That's just the way the fucking shit goes.
Yeah, it's almost a
fucked up cult.
It's a fucked up cult, yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the church will not change its behavior. It will continue to conceal and cover its ass.
Yeah.
And there will be victims because the church refuses to admit wrongdoing, apologize, and it refuses to jeopardize its power. So,
well, apparently in Denmark, this documentary has made major ripples. It's quite possible that they may be stripped of their tax-free status.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter what a church does here in the U.S.
Mm.
They're protected by the First Amendment.
They may not be protected in Denmark, though. But I guess that's kind of a drop in the bucket, isn't it? How many of the worldwide Mormons are in Denmark?
Not even a sliver.
The Danish hear about Mormonism, they're going, what? Why would I want that?
What the fuck is that? What, yeah, really. That's a crazy-ass cult, whereas here, anybody who doesn't have much exposure is like, oh, yeah, the Mormons, I've heard of them. They're weird, but they're okay. And then another funny thing to me is how the Mormons are really trying to get in with the mainstream Christian, but the mainstream Christians think Mormons are fucking weird.
Well, they are.
Yeah, they are. Okay, yeah, but so are fucking mainstream Christians. Yes. They're all weird.
Yes.
But, you know, for example, the symbols on Google Map for the Mormon church, it used to be a little angel Moroni, but now they're just the cross.
Oh.
Which is hilarious because Mormons, my entire life, we don't worship the cross. We don't use the cross. That's divisive. And now they're fucking using it because they want to be a Christian church. Eventually, if Christian nationalism continues to increase in power here in the U.S., the Mormons are going to be on the other side soon enough because they're not the right kind of Christians.
Yeah.
It comes down to the whole don't believe in the Trinity thing.
Right.
Oops, Joseph. You should have stuck with your original idea.
But he likes making it up as he goes. He likes to fly by the seat of his pants, particularly his pants. Whatever is happening in his pants, he wants to fly by it.
It's line upon line, precept upon precept.
Pants upon pants.
Yeah. Did you hear the line from last conference about temporary commandments?
I did not.
Yeah.
Tell me anything about the last conference because I totally missed it.
I ignored it, but even that got through to me. Basically, they're talking about the prophets who are infallible, and sometimes they issue temporary commandments.
Oh.
Those commandments were commandments back then, but they're not now. But God's always the same. And the gospel has been fully restored, but now we have temporary commandments and continuing revelation.
Mm. And I'll just step outside while my head explodes.
Yeah, it's, oh my God, it's such bullshit. It's really just like...
What was that? Oh, that was someone's shelf breaking.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, another thing that the church has been doing, and they have been doing for decades, is buying up heaps and heaps and heaps of land. One day they'll own the entire planet or something.
They're going to own a whole bunch of underwater property when Florida finally floods.
Yeah. Down where it's wetter, it's a lot better. Take it from Joseph Smith.
That's right.
They've been buying up land in Australia as well.
Have they now?
And more recently, they've been buying up land in Queensland. And let me just tell you about the latest purchase.
Is it a big old cattle ranch?
Well, sort of. I read about a whole bunch of recent sales. I'm not sure if this one had the sheep on it, but one of them definitely did.
Oh, sheep.
So this latest one was for 220 million Australian dollars.
Christ almighty.
Yeah, that's not much.
Well, yeah, that's a drop in the pan for them, so.
Right, but it's a shit ton of land. It's about the same size as really a suburb or a town. It's like a square, 16 k's one way and then 16 k's the other way. That would be the area of 26,000 hectares, which is how big this thing is.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they going to do with it?
Well, here's the thing. The purchase was so massive that it actually triggered some talk because there's a threshold. So the actual threshold for the moment for a foreign investor to buy up land before it needs government approval is 286 million. So it's kind of just underneath that threshold at the 220 million.
Right.
But they were being a bit brazen.
As they do.
Right. So now there's talk about it being reduced to 10 million.
Wow, that's quite a reduction.
Yeah. I would be delighted, actually, if that happens, because it'll mean that there's some more oversight about them buying up my country.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's totally astounding that these people with tax-exempt status or partially tax-exempt status can just come through and buy up heaps of shit that they then don't have to pay as much land tax on, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all the tides are going. It's just buying more and more property. I mean, we talk about them having a $150 billion portfolio in shares, but that's just the shares.
Oh, it's way beyond that. That was just one portfolio.
Right.
But there is so much other investment elsewhere that there's no way to know how much money they have. And that's kind of the point.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of the land that all of these temples they're building on, they own that. They're turning their money into physical items.
Right, yeah. And not only the land that the temples are on, but they also buy the land around it.
Right.
And then they build giant fuck-all mansions there. And then it's a bunch of rich Mormons that are buying the houses. I mean, who the fuck else wants to buy a big-ass house right next to a big fuck-all temple?
Not the fun people.
Yeah, it's going to be a Mormon.
Oh, that reminds me. I don't know if you watch this. The most recent season of Crime Scene Kitchen, they had a pair of Mormons on it that did really well. They only got booted, I think, the second last episode.
Oh, yeah? I've never even heard of that show.
It's hosted by Joel McHale.
Oh, from Community?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. I don't like that show. My wife loves that show and has watched it probably the whole thing through twice. Is not as much of a favorite to her as, say, The Office, which I think she's watched all the way through like 3-4 times so far.
Oh my God, why?
It's, I don't know. Those types of shows where it's like cringy humor.
Yeah.
It makes me embarrassed to be in the same room as that show. I'm like, oh, I hate that. Same with reality shows. She puts on a reality show. I'm like, I gotta leave now, honey. I can't. This makes me cringe internally and I hate it.
Yes.
There's one reality show I can watch, and that is The Great British Bake Off. That's it. I can watch that because they're wonderfully nice to each other.
That's right.
They're supportive and they help each other. And when the person leaves, they're all, you know, and when the person wins, they're like, yeah. They're just nice and wonderful, and it's great.
Did you watch the most recent season of that? It just finished.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, Angie won. I think she was a good choice for the winner.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah. Even though I am a pessimist, I do enjoy watching a nice, uplifting show. So,
right.
Just that one, though.
Well, your whole body probably needs it after a hard day of pessimizing.
Exactly.
You've got a hard-earned thirst.
Yep.
As I was looking for Mormon news, I discovered a news story from our national broadcaster, the ABC.
The Australian Broadcasting Company?
That's right, and it's government funded. There's no ads on it.
Oh.
Anyway.
Socialism!
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but you know what? It is what it is. So, yeah, this is a news article since after we recorded the last one, so it's recent, about a town pretty much dead center in the middle of Australia, in the Northern Territory, just a little bit north of Alice Springs. A town of 70 people, and pretty much all of them are Mormons.
Oh my God.
Called Mulgabaw. I have never heard of this before. I just played the video that the ABC put there. They had an older American missionary couple that are there, and they looked so out of place in this town of indigenous people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Like, I didn't see any other white person there. Like, they're the white people, and the rest were Native Australians.
Great.
And that's kind of cringy.
Yes.
They're in the middle of nowhere, and this is what they're being inculcated with.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, you know, there's some unfortunate things that can happen in some of these remote communities, you know, a real culture of alcoholism and stuff like that.
Sure.
But the church doesn't allow alcohol at all, so it fits right in with a community that's trying to shun that stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There are dry zones in the Northern Territory. I don't know how well they work. It seems to suit them is what I'm trying to say. These people actually look kind of happy, and when you hear them talk, they actually sound quite coherent. I mean, I'm never a fan of religion, but the fact that this particular religion makes people feel good about not drinking, it seems to have done something for this community. I'll give them that.
Yeah. There's other things that could do that. And also
true.
The indigenous people having problems with substance abuse and rampant poverty is the fault of the white folks that came in and fucked up everything. And now we're having more white folks come in there and like, oh, well, listen to our imaginary friend and it'll fix everything for you. And oh, by the way, you're Lamanites. I don't know how the fuck you got out here into the Australian outback, but you're Lamanites, you know.
Well, I've got a feeling that they're not reading it real close.
Yeah.
I know that Mormons are known for reading their Book of Mormon through every so often, but the thing is, I think they're reading it, but not really reading it.
I've never made it through the entire Book of Mormon.
That's because you're normal.
Yeah, perhaps, but the reason I'm so familiar with the Book of Mormon and the stories in the Book of Mormon was because of a novelized kids book that I had as a kid that I read multiple times because it was in a story format, kind of like a graphic novel version of the Book of Mormon.
Mm.
And I read that multiple times and that stuff stuck, but I could never ever get through the actual Book of Mormon because it's stupid and stupid and stupid.
Oh, I so want to see how the graphic novelized version handles those appalling passages where Smitty doubles down like 4 or 5 times in the one chapter about Black being evil.
Well, in that book, they literally showed the Lamanites' skin changing from white to dark.
Holy shit!
There was literally no mistaking it. And now, of course, they're saying, oh, well, they meant war paint, or oh, it was a spiritual darkness, or no. Motherfucker, I remember those books.
Yeah.
And I remember in the novelization book that they talked about Laban Lemuel coming out, oh, my skin, it's dark, I'm trying to wash it off. There was no fucking ambiguity about it whatsoever. It was their skin darkened.
Right. You know, what they should have done is made it even more interactive. You know how you can get pop-up books and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They should have made that particular section hypercolor. So, you know, you heat it up and it
changes color.
Yeah. And you can watch the Holy Spirit entering their bodies and
exiting their body. Yeah,
that's right. For all you Mormons out there who are listening in, there's a marketing idea for you.
I forgot about hypercolor. I had a girlfriend that gave me a hypercolor shirt for my 14th birthday.
Oh, how did that go?
I wore it. I was so confused at 14. I had a girlfriend. I didn't know what to do with her. We didn't even kiss. She had short hair, and my friends made fun of her for being a lesbian.
Oh.
You know, this was the early 90s. And I was like, yeah, she's a lesbian. Didn't even really know what lesbian meant. And then she dumped me. And I was like, okay. And the funny thing is I met this girl and she became my girlfriend in one night when we were at a school dance. And I had gone with some other girl. Like I said, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
No one does at 14. That sounds like a perfectly normal 14-year-old story.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to say about that Mormon town in the center of Australia, but I just really wish the Mormons would get the fuck out of my country.
That would be lovely. I wish they'd get the fuck out of my country. The fuck out of all countries.
Lose their tax-free status and then they can stay.
You know what? Yeah.
You gotta have freedom of religion, but you shouldn't have tax-free status.
You have to have freedom from religion.
That's right. I need freedom from religion, and that requires money.
The First Amendment was not to protect churches. It was to protect people from state-mandated churches. And the fucking churches came in and said, no, you're protecting the church. Fuck you. Anyways. Yeah.
Shall we read this rather normal-sized chapter of total ridiculousness?
Well, we don't want to have anything different from the rest of the book. That's for sure.
Right.
Yep.
Hey, have you got the church's little preamble that they got?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this thing.
Okay. Alma preaches and baptizes in Melek. He is rejected in Ammonihah and leaves.
Oh, that is such a hard word. I didn't even know how to say it, hey.
Well, it's Ammon. Was it one of the King Mosiah's sons, Ammon?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Yes, Ammonihah and leaves. An angel commands him to return and cry repentance unto the people. He is received by Amulek. And the two of them preach in Ammonihah about 82 BC.
That's pretty much all that happens in it.
Yes.
Although they have a meal in there as well. This new guy feeds him.
Yes, that's how we know he's a good person, because he shared his bread.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And I think Alma felt pretty good about it, so I guess it was a happy meal.
I get, yeah, wah, wah, da, 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 ch. Yep. All right, verse 1. And now it came to pass that Alma returned from the land of Gideon after having taught the people of Gideon many things which cannot be written. Why can't they be written, fuckhead?
I know. That was the first thing that I thought.
You've written all this other shit. Why can't you write
It's so blatant that Smitty is, I'm just going to skim over that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he was implying he actually went and fucked all the dude's wives, and it was the holy order of...
Of his traveling pants.
Yeah, exactly. After having taught the people of Gideon many things which cannot be written, having established the order of the church, according as he had before done in the land of Zarahemla, yea, he returned to his own house in Zarahemla to rest himself from the labors which he had performed. And thus ended the 9th year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi. And it came to pass in the commencement of the 10th year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi, that Alma departed from thence and took his journey over the land of Melek, on the west of the river Sidon, on the west by the borders of the wilderness.
Nice reading. So yeah, just in case anyone's completely lost, what Alma's been doing, he's been going on this little journey. I think he was the judge and high priest, but he dethroned himself and gave it to somebody else.
Yep.
And then he's like, that's it, you guys got it now, and I'm going to go and preach because that seems like a great thing.
Yes.
And he goes on this journey. He's just finished being to Gideon, where he basically gave them a Paul-like letter, and it just made no sense at all. Now he's going to some other place. Good job, Alma.
Yeah.
Verse 4, and he began to teach the people in the land of Melek, according to the holy order of God, by which he had been called, and he began to teach the people throughout all the land of Melek. Oh my God. He just said it twice.
Yep.
He just said it twice.
And he'll probably say it about 4 more times.
And it came to pass that the people came to him throughout all the borders of the land, which was by the wilderness side. My goodness, if you're going to describe where anything is, by the wilderness side, way to go, Smitty.
Yep.
And they were baptized throughout all the land. Verse 6, so that when he had finished his work at Melek, he departed thence and traveled 3 days' journey on the north of the land of Melek. And he came to a city which was called Ammonihah. Oh, just before you take over, I looked up to see if Mormons have any idea of like a map of these travels that Alma went on, and they do.
Well, it depends on if you go by the Heartland model, the South, or the Central American model.
I think I saw a map that might have been the Central American model.
Yeah, that came into vogue in the 70s, 80s, and then it moved on into South America. But now there's a resurgence of the Heartland model.
Oh.
Which is here in North America, because, well, honestly, that's what Joseph Smith was talking about, here in North America.
Right.
In fact, there have been plenty of people that have gone through and lined up with how he's describing the landscape around where Joseph Smith lived and heading off into the West. Again, it's all made up and it's bullshit.
It is totally bullshit. I don't know how anyone from these horrible descriptions could line it up with anywhere. And that really showed in this half-hearted map I saw. Unlike Bible stories when they do maps, these names don't correspond with anything. Like in the Bible, when there's a story, they actually use real place names, ancient names that have been around forever. Smitty just said, oh, no.
No.
Hold my beer. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, he just made shit up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
They were so half-hearted about the fact of whether this was genuine or not. They had a carve-out underneath. It was like, we're not trying to say that this is what really happened. We're just saying that it's possible that this might be
a thing. It's possible this might. Yeah, exactly.
And then when they drew on the map, instead of actually trying to make it look realistic, we're not going to try to dodge these mountains. Mm-hmm. We're just going to put the arrow straight over the mountains. Mm-hmm. They just don't care. Like, because you can't make it make sense.
No.
All right, there's seven giants.
Now, it was the custom of the people of Nephi to call their lands and their cities and their villages, yea, even all their small villages, after the name of him who first possessed them. And thus it was with the land of Ammonihah. So, okay, that's why it's called Ammonihah, because some dude named Ammon came in there. Probably not the son of Mosiah, but another Ammon.
Such a random unfactoid.
Yes, exactly. And it came to pass that when Alma had come to the city of Ammonihah, he began to preach the word of God unto them. Now Satan had gotten a great hold upon the hearts of the people of the city of Ammonihah. Therefore, they would not hearken unto the words of Alma.
Yay! Yay!
Good.
Nevertheless, Alma labored much in the spirit, wrestling with God in mighty prayer. I wonder what makes prayer mighty. I think it's when you put a stern look on your face and make a vein pop.
That's right. I think mightiest prayer is when you're gesticulating and doing the exact opposite of what they say to do in the Bible, which is to go in your closet and pray in secret.
Right.
If it's great prayer, dear Jesus, who has not been born yet, listen to me.
That's right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And that he would pour out his spirit upon the people who were in the city, that he would also grant that he might baptize them unto repentance. Baptize them so hard that they get repentance. Just hold them under the water until they're like,
repent, motherfucker. Yep.
What's the word that you say, uncle, when you tap out or something?
Well, you can't do that while you're underwater.
Nevertheless, they hardened their hearts, saying unto him, behold, we know that thou art Alma, and we know that thou art high priest over the church, which thou hast established in many parts of the land. Oh, okay, so he's still a high priest, is he? I must have got that one wrong.
He was the judge, and then he gave up the judge.
Because
remember, he was placed in charge of the judges and in charge of the church.
That's right. That's a terrible idea.
Yes, it is. But then he gave up his government position, but he still kept his church position.
Right, okay. According to your tradition, and we are not of thy church, and we do not believe in such foolish traditions. Ah, now there's someone with a great idea that this is a foolish tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Thanks, Smitty. He took the words right out of my mouth.
Indeed.
And now we know that because we are not of thy church, we know that thou hast no power over us, and thou hast delivered up the judgment seat unto
Nephiha.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, thou art not the chief judge over us. Yes, even the good guys are long-winded. Ah!
Yep.
All right.
13. And now, when the people had said this, and withstood all his words, and reviled him, and spit upon him, and caused that he should be cast out of their city, he departed thence, and took his journey towards the city, which was called Aaron.
Okay.
And it came to pass that while he was journeying thither, being weighed down with sorrow, wading through much tribulation. Tribulation, that's not a word.
That's yeah,
much tribulation.
I love it.
I'm trying to emulate Joseph. I'll just throw in extra.
Tribulation does sound more Smitty, I gotta say.
Yeah, much tribulation and anguish of soul because of the wickedness of the people who were in the city of Ammonihah. It came to pass while Alma was thus weighed down with sorrow, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him, saying, blessed art thou, Alma, therefore lift up thy head and rejoice, for thou hast great cause to rejoice, for thou hast been faithful in keeping the commandments of God from the time which thou received thy first message from him. Behold, I am he that delivered it unto you.
Oh my God.
So apparently this is the angel that knocked Alma on his ass and knocked him out for 3 days.
Oh, right. He's back for another round.
Lovely.
Hey, did you see how they spelled receivists?
Receivists.
R-E-C-E-I-V-E-D-S-T.
Yeah.
What the?
It's not.
That's...
Look, see, I told you. I'm just keeping with Joseph's tradition of making up bullshit words.
That's right. You have received a tribulation incantation instantiation.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, I am sent to command thee that thou return to the city and get the shit kicked out of you one more time. No.
Mm-hmm.
To the city of Ammonihah and preach again unto the people of the city. Yea, preach unto them. Yea, say unto them, except they repent, the Lord God will destroy them. For behold, they do study at this time that they may destroy the liberty of thy people. What particular liberty are we talking about here? For thus saith the Lord. Why does he put the thus saith the Lord in brackets?
It was the typesetter trying to make sense of this bullshit who put that in parentheses.
And that's the best they could do.
Mm-hmm. Just throw it in parentheses. Fuck it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep,
after exactly. A hard day of trying to insert commas, they were just like, mm-hmm. Oh, fuck it. I'm putting the whole thing in parentheses.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For thus saith the Lord, which is contrary to the statutes and judgments and commandments which he has given unto his people. Okay, so they're trying to destroy liberty somehow.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Whatever.
By not being members of the church, they're trying to destroy the liberty of the members of the church.
Yeah. See, I don't think that's what's happening at all. I think as soon as they spit on that guy and he decided to head off, they were like, oh, well, that's over.
Yep. Well, no. Actually, nothing happened.
That's
because
right.
This
nothing
is all
happened.
Bullshit.
They didn't even spit on him.
Because they didn't exist.
That's right.
Exactly.
And that's why we can't draw a map of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it came to pass that after Alma had received his message from the angel of the Lord, he returned speedily to the land of Ammonihah.
Ammonihah.
Ammonium.
Yep.
Ha!
Yep.
And he entered the city by another way. Oh, he did now. How sly. Yea, by the way, which is on the south of the city of Ammonihah.
He came in through the back door.
That's right.
Shame on him.
I wonder if that's the gay end of the city.
Possibly. You know, it's possible. And as he entered the city, he was anhungered. And he said to a man, will ye give to an fuck you, humble servant of God something to eat? And the man said unto him,
no!
I am a Nephite, and I know that thou art a holy prophet of God, for thou art the man whom an angel said in a vision, thou shalt receive. Therefore, go with me into my house, and I will impart unto thee of my food, and I know that thou wilt be a blessing unto me and my house.
And if you'd like me to impart some other things later, that's possible too.
I got a big meatloaf here for you. And it came to pass the man received him into his house, and the man was called Amulek, and he brought forth bread and meat. See, I told you, his loaf and a big meat stick and set before Alma.
I mean, he would do anything for love, wouldn't he?
Yep.
Oh, dear. So this is Alma's happy meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass.
Oh, my.
That Alma ate bread and was filled. Ah, oh, he wasn't just filled with the bread. Let me tell you, there was that submarine sandwich.
Well, that's right.
And he blessed Amulek and his house, and he gave thanks unto God. And after he had eaten and was filled, he said unto Amulek, I am Alma, and am the high priest over the church of God throughout the land. Why is he saying who he is?
Well, because an angel told him, but he didn't tell him his name or job description, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Everybody else in town knew it, so why the fuck wouldn't Amulek know it?
Right. Why is he announcing himself?
Yep.
Verse 24, and behold, I have been called to preach the word of God among all this people, according to the spirit of revelation and prophecy. What does that mean? You can't just do everything according to something else. And I was in this land, and they would not receive me. But you did, Amulek. You received me real good. But they cast me out, and I was about to set my back towards this land forever when I came across a pesky angel.
Yeah, really. But behold, I have been commanded that I should turn again and prophesy unto this people, yea, and to testify against them concerning their iniquities. And now, Amulek, because thou hast fed me and hast taken me in, thou art blessed, for I was an hungered.
He was an hungered, all right.
Gaping to be filled.
He wanted that meat sandwich right up there.
For I had fasted many days.
So Amulek broke his fast and his back.
And Alma tarried many days with Amulek before he began to preach unto the people.
That must have been some dry spell that Alma had had. It's no wonder he tarried.
He needed sexual healing.
Verse 28, and it came to pass that the people did wax more gross in their iniquities. And the word came to Alma saying, go and also wax my car.
Yeah.
And also say unto my servant Amulek, go forth and prophesy unto this people, saying, repent ye, for thus saith the Lord, except ye repent, I will visit this people in mine anger, yea, and I will not turn my fierce anger away. And Alma went forth, and also Amulek, among the people, to declare the words of God unto them, and they were filled.
Oh, yeah.
With the Holy Ghost this time. Oh, isn't that nice? You can take the final two amazing verses, James.
Oh, boy. 31. And they had power given unto them insomuch that they could not be confined in dungeons. Neither was it possible that any man could slay them. Nevertheless, they did not exercise their power until they were bound in bands and cast into prison. Now this was done that the Lord might show forth his power in them.
So verse 31 is the only exciting thing that happens in the whole chapter. They go into God mode and become invulnerable.
So that's foreshadowing right there. Yeah, it's not until chapter 14 that they actually get their asses thrown in prison. 32, and it came to pass, they went forth and began to preach and prophesy unto the people according to the spirit and the power which the Lord had given them.
James, on the wall behind you, what's that figure up against the wall?
Oh, that's Sir Rusty. When I was 17 years old, my parents, they went on a trip down to Phoenix and they went to a flea market and there were these tin suits of armor that were being sold there of varying sizes. And they decided that they would buy their son one of these. So for Christmas, I got Sir Rusty. His full name is Sir Rusty Guy, which is hilarious because it's tin. Tin doesn't rust, but whatever. Don't at me. But when my wife and I got married...
Did he officiate?
No, he didn't officiate. Some old motherfucker up in Logan, Utah at the temple said some bullshit that I didn't pay attention to. He and all my belongings had been in a storage space down in Phoenix for about a year. And then so my wife and I went down there with my little two-door Honda Civic hatchback and I threw away a bunch of my stuff, but Sir Rusty was crammed into the top and he made the trip all the way back. But he has been with me the entire time. I'm going to be cremated. So pour my ashes into Sir Rusty and then, you know, chuck him in a hole or something like that. Or put me on a rocket ship or whatever.
And how hot is it in Salt Lake City right now?
Negative, like 1 degree Celsius.
Oh, really? That's pretty cold. So you might have a white Christmas then?
Maybe.
Well, I suppose in Salt Lake City, it's always a white Christmas, isn't it?
Ah, very white and delightsome, yes. We get maybe a white Christmas every 5 to 6 Christmases. Usually it's just brown and cold. So it is a desert after all.